Galatians chapter 5. Simple title of the message tonight, Works of the Flesh. So let's just look here at Galatians chapter 5. Let's begin in verse 14 just to kind of remember where we've been. And then we're going to really focus tonight on verse 19, 20, and 21. These 17 items that really highlight for us the works of the flesh. And I want to make sure that even if my preaching is makes you feel steered in a different way, this is not to make this about rules. This is to help us be aware, be conscious, be alert to when we're walking in the flesh versus walking in the Spirit. And so I want you to understand that, and then we'll talk about the remedy that this passage has already talked about previously with one caveat. Let's begin in verse 14. For all the law, Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, for all the law was fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the law was fulfilled in one word, that's love. Understand, when Christ fulfilled the law, God is love. Christ's fulfillment of the law was love. Verse 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. They're not complementary. There's no overlap. There's no getting along between the Spirit and the flesh, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. In fact, if you be led of the Spirit, when it says you're not under the law, you're not going to walk in the flesh. Now, verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, or made known, are clear, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. I'm going to help you understand these words as we go through them. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that last statement is an incredible statement. I want you to turn over, if you will, just turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Corinthians chapter 6. The Bible is shocking. It ought to just constantly just challenge us. And so I'm just really piggybacking off of this because it's not going to be a heavy emphasis of my message. They which do such things, these 17 things, and I believe this, it would be the pattern. It's if it is what identifies you, if it's who you are by your behavior, then he says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Oh, don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, Todd's not here, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But then look at verse 11. This is so good. And such were some of you. You see, when God saves you, that's not who you are anymore. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so it's terrifying, right? It's really, the reality is, when I meet people that are living in this sin, the Bible says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And I will tell you this, we should with fear and trembling, right? In fact, I want to use the exact words. It's just right over my Bible here. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It is a big deal. You should take it serious. I don't think you should. You should look for the indications that, you know, God has saved you and that you love the Lord and that there's the evidence. But I will tell you that you understand this. Here's what makes every believer in this room doubt is when we walk in the flesh. You're like, how can I be a Christian and walk in the flesh? How can I be a Christian and do those things? How can I be a Christian and think those things? How can I be a Christian and you fill in the blank? But it's the works of the flesh, and these are to help us. Now, I've broken them down into five categories. So I want us to, and I'm going to try to just pop them up there. And I said inappropriate human interaction. I was trying to avoid the S word, right? So just because I'm like, I don't want to really create a lot of questions. Now the kid's like, what's the S word? And but it's inappropriate human interaction. This is what it's about, right? So understand this. It's adultery. And here, kids, I'll just tell you this. When you marry somebody, that's the only person that you should ever love and kiss and just, you should never. So it's a big deal to me. It's a big deal to me. I'm weird, and I mean, I appreciate it. Katie got here the other day. I was wrapping up some things, and I love it. She sat outside. And because I'm just not going to, and she understood that. She understood that. That was awesome. And I tell you, I'm extremely paranoid about this, and I pay attention to this, and I've been fooled before. So here's the reason this is so big deal to me. You understand this when the Bible says, thou shalt not covet. You know, one of the things it says not to covet is don't covet your neighbor's wife. You're normally not coveting that lady that lives in Tennessee, right? It's the next door neighbor. And the devil gets hold of your little mind, and before long, your little mind, and then you're going to try to act out on the things you think. So you got to understand this. This is not only the act, but it's the thought. And so, you know, when you're married, it's this, that the husband and wife, those two alone are together, and there's going to be no other interaction. And fornication, it's single people, right? But single people could do wrong things with married people. And this is a very broad topic. It's inappropriate behavior, not just the act that will make a baby. And so it's a broad spectrum of our sin that for men it would include our eyes and pornography and lust and I want to tell you it's getting ahead of steam in Christianity. Pornography is of the devil. Pornography is sin. It is never appropriate. It's never right. And it is a battle for men. It's a battle our eyes, it's of men. Whoever says it is wrong. I don't care what their label is. It's sin and it's evil, and we ought not to be involved with it. And it's a battle. It's a battle. So adultery, married people, being unfaithful to their spouse. Fornication, single people, not keeping their hands to themselves and all of that. So let me just talk to our teenagers. I want you to understand this. This is very important. This is important for me. I want you to just red alert. So I've got four girls right here, right? You're going to have to be the one. I wish I wasn't the one to tell a boy, you don't touch me there. Understand that? You better be ready for that. In fact, I think it would be a good conversation to you to have. On the first date is not necessary. Well, maybe it is. I have no idea. This weird world. But, you know, when you guys think you start liking each other, you guys are growing up fast, right? It's this. You say, no, that's not going to happen. Told my pastor I would tell him, and he's going to come and beat you up. No, you don't have to tell him. But you guys are going to have to be the ones. I hope we have young men. I hope we have young men that will honor the creation of God. Okay? And I love that. I love that. I love the plan right now. It's a little harder as you grow older. But it's, so stay right there. It's because God is worth it. God's worth it. Okay? So, adultery, fornication, this is real. This is written to people that you were trying to do what's right. In some sense, you would think, why do we have to talk about this? Because it happens within churches, and it happens within our hearts, and it happens within our minds. You know that. We have to fight it. We have to fight it, and we need to understand uncleanness is really impurity that from lustful living. So uncleanness is is within this same category, that it is then you've acted out, and this uncleanness doesn't have to just be inappropriate human interaction, but it does include it. That's why I put it in this category. But it could be that you've lusted after, some car or some home, and all of a sudden, all you are. And so he covers this more later with covetousness and idolatry, but where then your whole life is impure because you've sacrificed everything to get that new car, to get that new house. And so it's impurity from lustful living, but it does fit within this category as well. And then lasciviousness is just lust on steroids. It's beyond what is normal. It's beyond what we're just talking about with adultery and fornication. You're going to know this. You're dominated by it. This you could suggest that this would be the stage that you can fall into addiction, right? And God can give you victory over it, but it's lust on steroids, and you're dominated by it. And what we need to be is dominated by Jesus Christ. So the first category is inappropriate human interaction. Second category is sowing discord. I want you just to listen to this verse. You're familiar with this verse. You know what? In fact, just turn back to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Sowing discord, while you're turning there. Sowing discord. So we're going to look at all five of these with an overview after I go through the detail. So inappropriate human interaction, sowing discord, right? Variance is really contention and strife. And so it's just that we're just not sat. We're just, if we're unhappy, everybody else is going to be unhappy. And we're just sowing discord. Seditions is division, right? The best example of that would be the church at Corinth. But look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. You're familiar with this. Many of you are. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And this would not have been in my top seven. Many of these, probably most of these. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and I brought you here for this last one, he that soweth discord among the brethren. God hates sowing discord among the brethren. It is a big deal. But I will tell you, this is the killer. Your flesh loves it. Your flesh just wants to get involved in the juicy. Well, tell me all about it. And it can involve gossip, and it just causes division, and it causes, you know, it's not good. It's not good. I'll do everything I can to fight it. I want to do it by the Lord. Because, you know, sometimes I talk so tough, because I talk to different preachers and they tell me what goes on. And sometimes I say, well, I'll be down. I'm going to just smash it up. I'm going to beat it up. And, you know, we have to trust in the Lord. It comes down to faith, doesn't it? So you got to understand this. It's, we have to trust in the Lord, but let's not anybody in this room. I love this. Let's not anybody in this room be a divider. There's nothing, it's not worth it. I will tell you this, if God begins to save people in a dramatic way, and we begin to reach people, and I'm super encouraged. There's so many opportunities. I think it's been a fabulous year with our outreach. And I love all of the tentacles that we have, all the impacts that we know these people. We know what their issues are. And not all of them are we going to be able to reach. So just to be clear, to my knowledge, I haven't seen one person saved as a direct result of Hope Cares. But God's blessed us. He's blessed us with other people that have come into our midst that have been saved. But the outreach is, just note, God begins to work in a great way, the first thing that people start grumbling, I don't know about what, but they'll start complaining. I pray not. I don't know. There, none of you are suspect for me in my mind to do that. I've just been around long enough. But that's the way the devil does it. And your flesh will just jump right in and go, did you see what the pastor did? Did you see what he said? You know, I mean, if that's what's going to cause division, then I'm just setting you up every week. Sowing discord. Third one is a direct affront to God. This is what I say, a direct affront to God. And you guys don't have to agree with my categorization of this, but I see three here. The first one is idolatry, where I say that idolatry is covetousness, is I get that from Colossians chapter 3, that when it's listing those out. I will look at Colossians chapter 3 a little bit later. But Colossians chapter 3, idolatry. Here's what idolatry is, and covetousness is really putting your desire for things. Is that not the United States of America? Is I will tell you, everybody, you know, I drove by a soccer field. When was it? When was it raining really hard? Was it Friday? Yesterday. Was it the day before? It's been raining a lot. So wherever I was, and I mean, I don't mind this at all. Hundreds, probably thousands, pouring the rain. And they're out there with their kids watching soccer. And I'm just like, y'all won't come to church when it's raining. You know, idolatry. Idolatry. We won't miss work. We'll miss church. And it's just, it's covetousness, right? It's idolatry. It's putting something ahead of God. It's putting, you know, and it's just not coming to church. It's not coming to church because, I mean, generally speaking, that's the best thing Christians do in America. I mean, do Christians do anything better in America than go to church? I think that's the best thing they should do, I'm not really worried about that. It's that we don't have time for anything else because I'm working because I want. You know, that's what your flesh will do. Your flesh will never be satisfied. Your flesh will always want something better, something nicer. And I'm just like anybody else. When I was helping Jacob find a car, I was like, man, that's a nice car. That's a nice car. And I was like, I wonder how much I could sell mine for. Because it's kind of a crazy time, right? So I was like, well, maybe I could sell my car and an upgrade. And you know, I don't need an upgrade. It's not bad to have an upgrade, but I'm just telling you this, what you hang around will affect you. What you put in your mind will affect you. Don't put it above the Lord, right? So, idolatry, witchcraft. Witchcraft seems so foreign. All that witchcraft is, it was with Saul. Saul's the best example in the Bible, that he went to see the witch at Endor. He was like, you know, all I want to do is I want to know. You know, I told you this. I've been a long time. When I was a kid, I used to love sports, and I would be in the sports page every day and memorize box scores and all that kind of stuff because I wanted to be knowledgeable of all the different sports. I told you what was in the sports page, right? Horoscopes. Why are horoscopes in the sports page? Because there's a devil. Now, I even hesitate to even bring it up because then everybody, what's that? Stay away from it. It's of the devil. It is of the devil. But when we depend on something else for our guidance, other than God, let God's word be our guidance. So, you know, I'm telling you this. I was superstitious when I played sports. And God convicted me about it. I would wear the same socks. I had a good game. And sit in the same booth, eat the same meal, try to go through the same behavior, have the same guy tape my ankle. I would drive, and I played in Evendale. I would drive to the west side of Hamilton before every game to have this one guy. It was like 80-year-old guy. He probably wasn't any good, but I thought he was. My ankle made it through. But and all of a sudden, God convicted me that said my trust was being put in everything but him. Silly thing, sports, silly thing. You see, witchcraft is when you're depending on something other than God. I'm not against medicine. My wife's a pharmacist. But I will tell you this, put your trust in God. I am pro-medicine. It's just, we need to be careful because I think it can be oversubscribed. And so medicine's good. Medicine comes from the plants that God created. But be careful. You're not putting your hope in medicine. Put your hope in the Lord. And then finally, heresies. I say it's an affront to God because heresies is spiritual division. And heresies can be two things. One, it can be false teaching, but can also be the heresies that it really talks about here is sort of like the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of this club kind of mentality, right? That are you of me? And so it's spiritual division. You know, we got the group over here that believes in XYZ. We got the group over here that believes in, you know, I mean, that's what my understanding is, tragic as it is. Grace Baptist Middletown has always been a great church that has represented the gospel well. I believe they've represented the gospel of Jesus Christ well. They've gone through tough times. Somebody told me the other day there's less than 50 people there. That's heartbreak. We need more churches, not less. And so it was kind of this spiritual heresy or heresies that, you know, we got this group and this group and this group and this group. You know what they all need to do is let's get along. I think every one of those groups, if they said, hey, let me outline what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Anybody disagree with that? I guarantee you, whatever groups they had, they would all said, yeah, we all agree. The gospel of Jesus Christ, we all agree. Hey, do we all agree on that Jesus is God? We all agree. Oh, wow, that's great. Do we believe that Jesus is the only way? Do we believe that it's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ? Yes, we believe that. Do we believe that God has commanded us to go reach this world for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ because he loves them and he wants them saved? Can we agree with that? I think we can say yes. It's like, why can't we get along? Boy, you know, we have these, you know, segments. I don't know. You know, there's some people, you know, that are you pre-tribulation? I say out of convenience. I mean, there's some people, I won't go to your church unless you're pre-tribulation, you know. I'm a pre-wrath guy. So I'll just tell you this. I'm utterly convinced in the study of God's word that God will remove his children before he pours out his wrath. There will be those that will be saved during the time of his judgment, and they will, most of them will be slaughtered and will be martyred for standing for Christ and for being saved. But before that, I'm a pre-wrath guy. Whenever God's going to do that, that's good. And so, but there's some people that make future events everything, and that'll just split a church. That's silliness. It's there's a job to be done, right? There's a work to be done. You know, the reason I don't bring up Israel a lot is I have no clue what's going on. Does anybody else have any clue what's going on? I mean, I wasn't around during the Six Days War. That looked worse. Have you ever watched the videos about the Six Days War? I have. I mean, I saw the Egyptian president, and he was like, we will annihilate Israel. I mean, they were just like, they were going to, and there was zero political correctness. We're going to annihilate them, right? I could see Baptist preachers going, it's the end. Hold on. Do you feel it shaking, right? I don't know. I don't know what the Lord's, you know, that's why I don't preach a lot about it, because I'm like, well, boy, I'll tell you, here's what I encourage you to do. Just look for God. That's it. Look for God, because God is doing something. That's brilliant, right? But let's be excited about God, right? The tragedy is that people are dying and going to hell. I don't care if they're, I mean, I don't, we make too much whether Jews dies or non-Jews die. People are dying and going to hell. I hate war because of that. I hate the war in Ukraine because Russian soldiers are dying, Ukrainian soldiers are dying. And so Ron's over there right now. He's doing a great work. Ron Jackson, he just texted me today. And I'll talk to you about that after the service. I meant to talk to you about it before the service, but he's doing a great work. So it's this. Here's the flesh. Wants inappropriate interaction with others. The flesh, not happy. We're getting along too much. The flesh, you know, you're too serious about God. You know what? You just need to take a chill pill. Then the fourth category that I see in this is acting negatively toward others. Acting negatively toward others. Hatred. I mean, you know this. Listen to 1 John 3:15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Jesus even said on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, if you have anger without a cause, you're in danger of the judgment. And so hatred is acting negatively toward others, right? Emulations is jealousy and envyings. Now, here's the best definition of envy and jealousy. Jealousy. So jealousy, feeling threatened, protective, or fearful of losing one's position or situation to someone else. Here's a jealousy. Feeling threatened, protective, or fearful of losing one's position or situation to someone else. That's jealousy. That would be emulations. Then envyings. It's the painful feeling. And so envy is like deep. It's painful. The painful feeling of wanting what someone else has, like attributes or possessions. So envyings can be very close. If you ever thought this, envyings and covetousness can be super close as well. So we see this hatred, jealousy, emulations, envyings, wrath. Wrath would be when your anger finally, and you're gonna blow up, and there's gonna be an outburst with someone, and then finally murders. And again, it's hatred of the heart. If you look at these, I mean, look at these. Three of the four that we've covered so far are dealing with people. Our struggle to get along. And the key is going to be focus on God. But the issues with the flesh, the works of the flesh, result in us not loving one another and getting along. And so acting negatively toward others, those are the categories there. And then finally, I would call it self-centeredness, right? Some, you know, I didn't want to overwhelm our front row scholars. Narcissism, just it's all about you. It's all about me. We all struggle with this. And so this is the category that I had there. It's strife. And so strife, remember this, I told you this, that, let me go back here, that variance is really what we think of as contention and strife, that, you know, just that angst that you have, and you're always just, you're never happy. That would be variance. And the word here that we see, strife, is really self-promotion. Strife. I'm always trying to, you know, promote me and have people see me, and that's a struggle for us. So then drunkenness. The reason I put that under self-centeredness is you are just overindulging to satisfy yourself, to medicate yourself, to satisfy yourself. You could argue that many of these are self-centered, but I put drunkenness in there. And then revelings, in its simplicity, revelings, partying, just always, I got to have fun. You know, where's the next good time? Again, we saw that in Isaiah 58 this morning. And again, I want you to have a comfort with this. I don't want it to be stubbornness. And the way I say it sometimes will come across as stubbornness. I believe in Sunday night services. You don't have to amen me. You don't have to amen me and anything like that. I'm not looking for that. I believe in Sunday night services because I know I need it. If I didn't come on Sunday night, do you know what I'd be doing right now? I'd be watching football. I would. A game I didn't care about. What else am I going to do on Sunday night? Okay, you don't like football. What else are you going to do on Sunday night? Dread going to work on Monday? I remember that. I know. I remember those days. I'm so glad they're becoming faint. And it is, so I tell you this, and I love the independence of churches. But I will tell you, all it is so that we can have more time for God or have more time for me. That's my struggle. And look, I do not want this to be bondage to you. I believe this. I think you want to be here, and I pray you do, and we want to seek the Lord's face because our flesh is just ready to put a whooping on us. It's ready to just overwhelm us, right? And so these are the five categories here. I've got them summed up right here. These are the five categories, and we'll talk the remedy, right? here's the first remedy that I want you to see. Walk in the Spirit. Look back to Galatians chapter 5. Look back to Galatians chapter 5 here. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then I ask you, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? I just simply tell you that, what are you thinking of? What are you bringing into your life? Right? It is, here's what I believe. And so, a lot of Christianity I don't have a problem with being relevant, but I don't buy into this. You know what's going to change people? The power of God. You know what God's going to get behind? His word and his truth. We need the power of God. The only way anybody's going to be saved is the power of God. The only way we're going to walk in the Spirit is the power of God. The only way I'm going to have the victory that I desire is the power of God, and I can have all the power that I need to honor the Lord, right? But here's if you want to change a culture in the 21st century, there's been different methods, but they all have kind of the same root. It's through the entertainment industry. You want to change a culture? It's through the music. You want to change a culture? It's through the movies. You want to change a culture? It's through the videos. You want to change a culture? It's through the media impressions that you're hit with and bombarded with. And so then, if you think about that, the devil knows that, right? And so I'm not going there. I'm not going to try to change the culture that way. We need to seek God's face. We need to walk in the Spirit. But here's the key. What are you bringing into your mind, into your eyes, into your ears, into your brain, into your head? That is going to promote either walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. It's that simple. All we need to do is what am I bringing into my mind? What am I looking at? What am I listening to? What am I thinking on? What am I reading? What am I bringing into my life? And it may seem innocent, but it's this way. You know this. If you go shopping every day, do you think you'll buy more than the person that doesn't go shopping? Duh. Right? I mean, that's just the reality. If you are always browsing Amazon, you're going to buy more, because I'm telling you, they're like, whoa, I need that. You can tell I'm getting older, because it seems like every ailment I have is like, oh, this little widget says it'll solve that problem for me. You know, pretty soon you guys will see me, I'll be like a cyclops, you know, I have all these things. That makes that piece of elbow feel good. But it's influencing me, right? And so I'm telling you this, you want to walk in the Spirit? You want to overcome the flesh? What are you bringing into your life? Now, part of me, I struggle, right? Alberto, I love Alberto. Can you feel it? Can you feel, Alberto, there's been a step back? Can you feel that? Okay, maybe you can't, so I know that. So Alberto has made a big deal, so I mean, I think he'll get over it if he watches. Alberto's made a big deal about being baptized, because he said, I was baptized as a baby. And you know, I mean, I try to be as gentle as I can, but apparently not very successful. And, you know, he's young. And so he just, I love Alberto. Alberto, at one point, his parents took me aside and said, Alberto, there's a problem. He doesn't play anymore. All he does is sit up in his room and read his Bible. Now, I probably didn't respond that well. I said, well, what's the problem? Alberto would make videos. And he would make videos about what he studied and what he learned. And here's what I concluded. He put himself in bondage. Because he listens everything I say, right? And he'll be like, you know, it's dangerous. Don't. Just 50%, man, 50%. But he listens to it, and he's like, he made it what? Rules. He became miserable. So he's coming out of it. This morning was just good. He's smiled the last 2 weeks. He hasn't smiled in a long time. You got to understand this. I know cultural norms, particularly in the Hispanic community. I am always walked out to my car. I've been walked out to my car for 4 weeks now. I pay attention. Alberto will stand at the door and wave. He's a little overwhelmed. I don't bring up baptism. But it is, you see, he had the right intent. Didn't he have the right intent? He said, boy, I want to honor Jesus Christ. I want to do this. And so, it's not being a monk. It's loving Christ, walking in the Spirit. And he did get this, but he put himself in bondage. Because I don't want you to go and I'm telling you this, when I was 16 years old, I told the Lord I will never listen to secular music the rest of my life, and I haven't. It took me 1 year to get over it. That's when I knew I had a problem. I said, I'm going to stop listening to secular music. I'm not telling you have to. I never regret it. 40 years later, I'm glad. Why do I need to know some modern tune? I'm telling you, Christians are like, oh, you are so weird that I don't know who that singer is. I have to be careful. I almost feel like prideful, but it's, I'll just say this. You have to make those decisions that say this. I love Jesus so much, this is gone. Because I know when I do this, I can see this pathway that'll have me walking in doing the works of the flesh. Cut it off. Cut it off. We're going to see a verse. I remember the first time Stephen Schultz, men's prayer. I'm just glad most of our guys close their eyes. I don't know about all of them, but I do. So I don't know who opens their eyes and says, I take a look. No, I don't. Elia does. She could tell me. Elia's like, just love it. Love it, right? But Stephen Schultz, he said, Lord, give us holy violence. I'm like, I had to look it up in my Bible, right, for a little bit. And what it is, it's that passage that says, if your eye offends you, and your eye will cause you to do the works of the flesh, rip it out. I think it was an illustration. I know this, but I'm going to say but. And I'll tell you this, Jesus meant it that said, better to go into heaven maimed than to not be able to turn from the works of the flesh and trust in Christ. You see, the top two reasons people won't trust in Christ. Number one, they don't want him to be master. Number two, they love their sin. Told you the lady at Thornton's, she's a lesbian, and she told me, she said, if you're telling me that I have to divorce my wife to be a Christian, then I'll never believe in Jesus. I said, I'm not telling you that. I'm just asking you for a Bible study. I'll let the Lord tell him that, right? But she loved her sin, and she declared that to me. I love my sin. And I asked her later, you willing to go to hell over that? You willing to spend eternity in hell over that relationship? Because that's the choice you're making. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I don't want to say that hatefully. Once you get to know people, you can be bolder, and they're going to know that you love them. It's understand this, walk in the Spirit. What are we bringing into our mind? What are we bringing into our thoughts? What are we bringing into our lives that will lead me to act out on the works of the flesh? I'm going to read some quotes here in just a second, but let me quickly just, in faith, you walk in the Spirit, in faith which worketh love. Look at just Galatians chapter 5. I want you to look at that verse there, Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Look at this. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. I want you to remember this. We're going to talk this in a second. I want you to understand this. It's faith which worketh by love. Faith in Christ that results in love. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Let's look at let's start at verse 8. I'm not going to try to preach too much here. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now watch, he's going to go through the Ten Commandments. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Not committing adultery is loving your neighbor. Thou shalt not kill. Not killing is loving your neighbor. Thou shalt not steal. Not stealing is loving your neighbor. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Not lying is loving your neighbor. You know why? God knows everything about you, so it's not really, it's a commandment for men. Thou shalt not covet is loving your neighbor. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. We've seen that in Galatians. And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, just what we're covering, not in chambering and wantonness, you know, just indulging the flesh, not in strife and envying, you see the same topics, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It's why I'm going to add one thing to the remedy. It's walking in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, walking in faith. It's this, and maybe it's what I've been talking about, it's to mortify the flesh. Mortify the flesh. That's what it said in Romans 13. It says that throughout the Scriptures, to mortify the flesh, to bludgeon, to kill, to destroy the flesh. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. I want you to see how this fits in with all of these items of the flesh. Again, if you are not careful, mortifying the flesh can put you in bondage to the law. You following me? But what we do need is we do need to put some things in there that say this: I've got to have an aggressive approach because my flesh will always work against me. I've got to have a purposeful determination that I'm going to kill my flesh every day. Because you can never tame sin. You cannot. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 says this: mortify therefore your members. Mortify means to kill. Your members of your flesh. Mortify therefore your members which are on earth. Now here's what you're going to see: the same list. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, that would be similar to lasciviousness, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. He says this in verse 7, in the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. I'm going to finish with some quotes about mortifying the flesh. Alexander McLaren likens the action called for with the verb mortify to the picture of a man while working at a machine gets his fingers caught between the rollers and the conveyor belt. In less than a minute, he will be flattened to a shapeless, bloody mess. He grabs an axe and he begins to hack his arm and his hand off. It is not easy, it's not pleasant, but it's the only alternative to a horrible death. And that takes us to Matthew 5, this holy violence. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Holy violence, radical. How much do we really want to honor Christ? Are we willing to do things that just are unique, separate, radical, violent, holy violence if necessary? Understand that. If it's as shocking, I still love it. It's been a while. I need some holy violence brought up there. Now, you can't mention it now for weeks because you'll be like, oh, I know that. But it's good. I can't pray like Stephen Schultz. I'm not, if I tried to do that, I'd be like, you know, because I have violent thoughts that aren't holy. And so Stephen can. I don't think, you know, I mean, he's a nice guy. Here's what another commentator said. Listen to this. This fits perfectly with Galatians. Listen to this. The Christian mortifies his flesh because he is at peace with God. Is that not Galatians? Listen to that. The Christian mortifies the flesh because he is at peace with God. the legalist mortifies the flesh to try to be at peace with God. Listen to it again. Maybe you guys don't look like you're, you know, I won't read it twice if you guys go, okay, give me a little facial expression. The Christian mortifies the flesh because he is at peace with God. The legalist, the person trying to earn God's favor, the legalist mortifies the flesh to try to be at peace with God. I'm at peace. Like, Randall, that's ridiculous. Don't do that. That may be uncomfortable. But it's good. And then finally, William Law, I don't know much about him, so I'm a little nervous when I find this quote, but he says, if you attempt to talk with a dying man about sports or business, he's no longer interested. He now sees other things as more important. People who are dying recognize what we often forget, that we're standing on the brink of another world. We think we got all the time in the world. And we are 1 second from eternity. Christ is worth it. Don't put yourself in bondage. You know, you guys, you give me feedback. I love Alberto. Alberto is one of the closest to my heart of anybody at this church. Alberto can affect my heart more than almost anybody. And I want Alberto to know Christ, and I've heard him. You know, because he emulates my preaching when it's bad, worse than anybody else in this room. Like, okay, that was a bit extreme. Back off, Alberto. You legalist. And you pray for him. Let's strive to have that spirit, though, right? But not in bondage. That we would say, Christ is enough. And it is one beautiful thing about getting older. And it's still, it's got to be Christ. I keep telling myself, man, I could die any day. Hoping that'll motivate me to do the works of the flesh less. But it's got to be walking in the Spirit, in faith, in love, for Christ. And that will do it. Now remember this, final thought. These works of the flesh are to be a siren that blares in your head, says, you're not doing what's right. You are definitely not walking in the Spirit. And there needs to be some changes. When you get to these things in verse 19 through 21, they're pretty extreme, are they not? By God's grace, we can catch them early. But many times, we don't. Let's walk in the Spirit. The works of the flesh. I don't think there's one Christian that you want to do any of these. But Christians have done all these in abundance. Maybe we've not acted on these, but what about this old here, right? God sees the heart. If it's here, it needs to be addressed as violently as if you're acting. We're going to see next week, and it's going to be good. I almost wanted to do it in 1 week, and I just go. The fruits of the Spirit. Tonight, the whole night, the rain, the heaviness, it just kind of feels like, how you doing, man? It's good to be here. Right? It's kind of like a dreary night, right? Was there anything positive about one of those things I mentioned? You will sense the difference of the fruits of the Spirit. Delightful. Joyful. Just what we'd all delight in. Walk in the Spirit. You'll have that. We'll talk about that next week. Let's pray.